This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Unsurvivable. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Thursday, August 27. Thanks for joining us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Laura, a storm of epic proportions, roared ashore this morning near the Texas-Louisiana border. Forecasters say storm surges could be unsurvivable.
Number of angles from the police shooting in Wisconsin. The cop was identified. The man shot admitted to having a knife. And NBA players boycotted games.
Vice President Mike Pence headlined the third night of the Republican convention. President Trump makes his keynote tonight.
And teachers worry that art and music classes may be cut from budgets due to the pandemic.
A lot of districts across the country that already were short on funds before the pandemic are now having to fit all these extra expenses in their budgets as they prepare for students to come back to campus. So they are looking at, when they're looking at their budget, one of the places that a lot of them are having to cut are in teacher salaries.
Reporter Suzanne Hurt at USA Today on what could be a farewell to arts. A storm of historic proportions has made landfall near the Texas-Louisiana border, arriving earlier this morning with screeching winds, blistering rain, and a crashing storm surge. The National Hurricane Center says Hurricane Laura, a Category 4 storm, reached Cameron, Louisiana with maximum winds of 150 miles an hour. No hurricane so powerful has ever hit the Louisiana coast, not even the devastating Hurricane Katrina nor Hurricane Rita, which battered the same region 15 years ago. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
The reality is for almost a 24-hour time period, there will be no ability for rescuers or aiders to get in and assist you in any way.
Forecasters say Laura's winds are expected to leave behind an unrecognizable path of destruction. Tropical storm force winds extend as far as 205 miles from Laura's center. Laura was expected to produce waves as high as 20 feet along portions of the Louisiana coast. By the way, update this morning for the National Hurricane Center. Laura now a Category 3 storm with winds of 120 miles an hour. Wisconsin investigators probing the police shooting of Jacob Blake said that the 29-year-old black man admitted to having a knife in his possession. It also identified the white police officer who shot him seven times in the back as Officer Rustin Shesky, a seven-year veteran. Officials in Kenosha say police were summoned to Mr. Blake's home Sunday and attempted to use a stun gun to stop him, but it didn't work. He then walked around his car to open the front door and was leaning forward when he was shot. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call.
Kenosha Police Officer Rustin Shesky has been a law enforcement officer with the Kenosha Police Department for 7 years.
Mr. Blake remains hospitalized. Meanwhile, 17-year-old teenager from Antioch, Illinois, was arrested in connection with a shooting that left two people dead and one injured during the unrest. Also, the NBA postponed three playoff games yesterday after the Milwaukee Bucks decided to boycott in protest of the shooting. Night three of the Republican National Convention focused in part on appealing to women voters, some who spoke said President Trump empowered them, including presidential advisor Kellyanne Conway, White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany, and the president's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. They described Mr. Trump as compassionate and supportive. But the keynote speaker was Vice President Mike Pence, who slammed Joe Biden, saying the Democratic presidential nominee's proposals would leave Americans unsafe and vulnerable.
We will always stand with those who stand on the thin blue line, and we're not going to defund the police, not now, not ever.
In response, Mr. Biden tweeted, "We can choose four more years of fear, division, and hate, or we can choose a different path, one of hope, unity, and light." Before President Trump speaks tonight, by the way, others at the podium will include former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani and Dana White, president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Welcome to Thursday. President Trump's re-election campaign has said its strategy is to boost voter registration and turnout among the people who most support him, largely the white working class, a goal distinct from trying to persuade undecided groups or Democrats to move his way. An analysis of voter data shows that the opportunity, at least on paper, is substantial. Here's how from Aaron Zittner, news and polling editor at the Wall Street Journal. Aaron, who are these folks?
Well, these are voters all around the country, but particularly concentrated in the upper Midwest and Pennsylvania, the states that used to vote Democratic, but in 2016 swung to Donald Trump and the Republican Party. We're talking about a very broad group of people, white voters who just happen not to have a four-year college degree. That's no comment on anyone's intelligence. But when you divide people by having a college degree or not having a college degree, as it happens, folks without a degree threw a lot of support to Donald Trump, and their support is why he won so many of those states that previously had voted Democratic.
All right, so how does he get those voters? As you pointed out, there wasn't a surge of new voters in 2016 that carried Mr. Trump to victory, right? So these would be new voters this time if he could get them?
Well, the Trump campaign is very explicit about what their strategy is to win re-election, and it's to go to this set of voters in these states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and of course when you do that, you're also talking about Ohio, Minnesota, to some degree New Hampshire, to go to these voters. And when you listen to the Republican National Convention, it's these voters who so many of those speakers are talking to. Now, their support won the states for Donald Trump, but they didn't turn out in particularly high numbers. Donald Trump won them because of the vote choice, the margins, that the fact that these voters swung toward him in greater numbers. But if you look back over the last few elections, it was George Bush in his re-election in 2004, George W. Bush, who really brought out these voters. In Wisconsin, 74% turnout among white non-college voters, and 60% or above in Michigan and Pennsylvania. The turnout that Donald Trump got in 2016 was well below those amounts, 7 points lower in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, 74% of these voters turned out in 2004. Only 67% of these voters turned out in 2016. That's a 7-point difference. And the point is, there was a time not long ago when these voters flooded into the polls to support a Republican president running for re-election. Donald Trump's explicit strategy is try to get the same kind of voters out again. And if he gets them out in the same way that George Bush did, that's tens of thousands of additional votes in these states for him.
Wow. Right, so what's that breakdown? Do we know specifically how many voters that might be, say, in Michigan, Pennsylvania, or Wisconsin?
Well, we do. We did an exercise where we said, what if we could apply 2004 turnout? If this is a thought exercise, because there are many things going on in an electorate, and we're just going to change one dial here. We're going to say, what if working-class white voters without a college degree? Now, one thing I should tell you, Gordon, is these voters, they account for more than 62% of the non-voters.
Wow.
In Michigan and Pennsylvania, and they account for 67% of the non-voters in Wisconsin. Among the people who are sitting on the sidelines and might be brought into electorate, these voters who are very open to the Trump message, 60% or so will vote for Trump if they come in, if past trends hold. These are the bulk of non-voters in these states. So that's who the president is trying to bring in to the electorate. And if they do come out, again, this is a thought exercise, where we just say, what if they came out at George W. Bush levels of 2004? That's 175,000 additional voters in Wisconsin, more than 200,000 additional voters in Michigan, more than 130,000 additional voters in Pennsylvania. And if we assume, and it's just an assumption, that the president holds 60% of the vote in that group, that's when you bring out more voters and you're winning 60% of them, you're making big gains.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Zitner, news and polling editor at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hurricane Laura has struck the coast of Louisiana with extreme winds, causing flash flooding. The Category 4 hurricane is expected to cause an unsurvivable storm surge as it moves inland with wind speeds of up to 150 miles an hour. Michael Brennan is with the National Hurricane Center.
We're going to see catastrophic wind damage in the eyewall, and then, catastrophic storm surge as well.
The storm made landfall shortly after midnight local time near Cameron, Louisiana.
Number two.
Police in Antioch, Illinois have arrested a 17-year-old on murder charges following the killings of two people Tuesday night in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The suspect has been identified as Kyle Rittenhouse, a local youth whose social media accounts pointed to an affinity for guns and law enforcement. The shootings occurred during protests of the Sunday night police shooting of Jacob Blake.
Number three.
Last night, all NBA playoff games were called off by players who made their strongest statement yet against racial injustice. The WNBA did the same. Atlanta Dream Center, Elizabeth Williams.
We stand in solidarity with our brothers in the NBA, and we'll continue this conversation with our brothers and sisters across all leagues and look to take collective action.
The dramatic series of moves began when the Milwaukee Bucks didn't take the floor for their playoff game against the Orlando Magic. Speaking at the historic fort that inspired the national anthem, Vice President Mike Pence told the Republican National Convention that the November election will define the country for generations to come.
To bring America all the way back, we need four more years of President Donald Trump in the White House.
Pence's praise of Trump included lauding the unprecedented steps he said the president took to combat the coronavirus. Investigators believe a massive fire that erupted on the Navy ship, the USS Bonhomme Richard in San Diego, may have been intentionally set, and a sailor has been identified as a possible suspect. The sailor was not named. No additional details were released. The world's wealthiest man has crossed a new milestone. Forbes says Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos has become the first person to top $200 billion in net worth. The 56-year-old owns 11% of Amazon stock, which has skyrocketed amid the pandemic as people shelter at home and demand for e-commerce soars. In April, Bezos' net worth was a mere $113 billion.
How does he live? Okay. Thanks for joining us. Teacher layoffs in some school districts ahead of the fall semester come as cash-strapped school districts nationwide must implement costly safety measures to prevent COVID-19 spread and to equip students with the devices remote learning requires in the meantime. Here's a snapshot of what's happening from Suzanne Hurt, reporter at USA Today. Suzanne, what are you hearing?
Well, a lot of districts across the country that already were short on funds before the pandemic are now having to fit all these extra expenses in their budgets as they prepare for students to come back to campus. So, replacing carpet with tile floor, testing air conditioning systems, and all these extra things that they weren't necessarily having to do before. And so they are looking at, when they're looking at their budget, one of the places that a lot of them are having to cut are in teacher salaries. So some of the teachers that have been cut in Massachusetts are arts teachers because, they're considered specials. Art and music and PE are considered specials. And so I guess when it comes down to cutting back on core subjects or specials, it's the specials that are more likely to be cut.
Wow. Well, besides those teachers who are specials teachers, who else would be opposed to something like this?
Well, I think when you look at the impact of the arts, so you have, not only teachers who are losing their job, but then you have students who might not have access to the arts outside of public schools, especially low-income students. Mm-hmm. They might not have Their parents might not have the resources to provide them with music or art lessons, take them to museums, and expose them to those sorts of things. So if they don't get it in school, they might not get it at all.
We're speaking with Suzanne Hurt, reporter at USA Today. Her piece is called A Farewell to Arts. Teachers fear coronavirus budget cuts may target art and music classes. All right, so did you say that in some cases, some of the core teachers, like a math or a science teacher, might have to try to pick up a few minutes of teaching or offering art, music, or PE?
I think that's what some stakeholders are concerned is going to happen. I don't know that that is happening yet. It's just kind of one of those things looming on the horizon, where some like superintendents are fearing that if they have to cut into special teacher salaries, that they might have to, for instance, ask an English teacher to incorporate art into their lesson plan so that, you know, art is presented in some form, but it's being presented by an English teacher, not someone who is, you know, certified and highly trained in art.
Wow. I think there was one school district that you talked about was already kind of $600,000 in the hole or needed to cut that much, and then the pandemic hit.
Right. Yeah, they were looking at having to trim $600,000 from their 2021 fiscal year budget before schools closed in the spring.
Ouch. Suzanne Hurt, reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all know that we should drink more water, but by the time you feel thirsty, it's too late. You're already dehydrated. That's why I've started using a product called Hydrant, a refreshing electrolyte powder that you mix directly into water to more efficiently hydrate your body. Each rapid hydration mix has the four essential electrolytes, sodium, potassium, magnesium, and zinc, and it's made with real fruit juice powder. The formula was developed by an Oxford scientist. The lime flavor is my personal favorite. I drink it during and after my workouts, whether I'm running or biking. It's $1 a packet for a 30-day supply. Save even more with a monthly subscription. Give it a try. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Save 25% on your first order by going to drinkhydrant.com/morning or enter our promo code MORNING at checkout. That's DRINKHYDRANT, drinkhydrant.com/morning, or enter promo code MORNING for 25% off your first order. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Behind the headlines, above the noise, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, August 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Laura came ashore near the Texas-Louisiana border this morning. Wisconsin investigators identify the cop who shot Jacob Blake and say Mr. Blake admitted to having a knife. A 17-year-old arrested for two fatal shootings during the Kenosha unrest. Three NBA playoff games postponed after players boycotted over the Jacob Blake shooting. President Trump closes the Republican convention tonight. Latest jobless claims numbers released today. And the two-year-old with Down syndrome, who's now a fashion model. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you, ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. As companies and universities create their own strategies to widely test employees and students, even those with no symptoms of COVID-19 or no known exposure to the virus, experts warn confusion over conflicting results is inevitable. Widespread testing can identify people who have the virus and halt the spread of some new cases, but because no test is infallible, some cases will be missed, and some people will get false positives. It's a story by Ken Altucker, reporter at USA Today. Ken, what do we have?
Essentially, what we have is, for the first time in this nation, we're doing widespread testing of the population for a novel virus. And we've never really done this before, so there are a lot of unknowns right now. So I think what people are trying to work through are some of the scenarios that are emerging. What we have are the main type of test we have is done in a lab. It's called a PCR test, and it's considered the most sensitive, which means it's most likely to pick up a case compared to other testing methods. One of the issues with this is it takes a lot of material, and labs can't always get the material they need to process these tests in a timely manner. There's a newer technology, a type of testing, antigen testing, that in some cases can deliver rapid results in about 15 minutes. That is emerging in a lot of places, like nursing homes and some clinics are using this type of test. One issue is the two types of testing technologies don't always agree on what's a case and what's not a case.
Wow. All right. So as part of that, you open the story with an anecdote about this clinic in Manchester, Vermont. Explain what happened there.
Right. So there was this clinic that had a new testing platform by a company called Quidel. And they began using it, and what they found was they started getting some positive cases in July off of this testing platform. So they notified the state health department, and the state health department uses a different type of test, the lab-based test, to confirm whether a case is really a case under their consideration. So what happened here was the clinic, discovered dozens of cases, sent the results to the state lab. State lab did their own testing, and they could only confirm four cases. So beyond that, the state lab set up pop-up testing sites in the area, and they couldn't really confirm that there was an outbreak in the area. So you have two different testing technologies that had different conclusions.
Wow. We're speaking with Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today. His piece is called "Inaccurate Results from Rapid COVID-19 Tests Raise Concerns About Widespread Screening." Something similar happened in Maine, right, with these summer campers. How about there?
Right. There was a case of 19 summer campers who tested positive, and the Maine Public Health Department didn't reveal a lot of information about that, but we talked to another summer camp, and they certainly became aware of the issue of one camp reporting false positives. So what they did is they instituted some really rigorous protocols to try to prevent infections, and they were largely successful. But the issue with false positives, on the one hand, you want to find every case you could get because the idea is to detect cases so people could isolate and not spread it to other people. And certainly people are encouraged to take precautions like avoiding crowded places, practicing social distancing, washing their hands, and good hand hygiene. But another factor here is what happens if you're an employee of a job and you get a test result and it's inaccurate and you have to sit out of work as a result of that inaccurate test. So, it's not thought to be a huge problem, but it certainly will happen to enough people potentially that what some of the experts I spoke with said is we really need protocols in place to figure out how we deal with these situations.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Alltucker, reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, by now we've all come to realize that 2020 is a year we'll never forget for all the wrong reasons, and I've spent a great deal of time joking about that fact the past few months, trying to keep our spirits up. And if anyone thought that 2020 was enjoying our jokes, a video from a Massachusetts wedding certainly proves otherwise. In the video posted to Instagram by the groom named Aaron Sawitsky, Aaron and his bride are seen exchanging vows next to a lake. When Aaron says, "Let's face it, 2020 has not been the best year," which of course elicits some chuckles from the wedding guests, suddenly, a large and very close bolt of lightning strikes the ground across the lake from the ceremony, and that's followed by a very loud thunderclap. Aaron then calmly gestures towards the scene as evidence of his point about 2020 while the guests erupt into laughter. After the video went viral, the couple told local TV that the wedding had been repeatedly delayed and scaled back due to the pandemic. Thankfully, the couple said the rest of the ceremony went on without any further complications.
Timing of that was just unbelievable.
I loved his poise.
You know, yes.
I mean, because that was really close and that thunderclap was really loud.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, how look, see what I mean, everyone?
Right.
And I mean, that's amazing.
He just sort of waved his hand at it as if that was a cue.
It
was a prompt as part of his remarks.
Right. It was part of the special effects that he had set up as part of the ceremony, right?
Yeah. Boy, who would you want like in a clutch or tense situation?
Yeah.
This guy's poised for sure.
Didn't even flinch. Good for him. And we told you yesterday about how much we love talking about food, and the only thing better than talking about food is talking about a food fight. Not surprisingly, Wendy's is involved in this dust-up. You may have heard that McDonald's is launching a spicy version of their Chicken McNuggets. To this point, Wendy's has become the fast food brand most known for spicy nuggets, which prompted the chain to take to Twitter to respond to users who asked them about the new nuggets from McDonald's. In one tweet, Wendy's said that they must have scraped up all of Burger King's leftovers and slapped a McPrice tag on it. I like that one. When one user responded by saying that Wendy's Twitter shade was cold, Wendy's responded by reminding folks that McDonald's nuggets are frozen.
Mm.
When another user said that at least Burger King has better nuggets than McDonald's, Wendy's tweeted, "That was like comparing garbage and rubbish."
Wow. Wendy's just delivering a social media hammer yesterday.
Yeah, you knew they weren't going to let this go, this whole McDonald's spicy nuggets thing, without getting involved. They are known for this.
I mean, that's three victories. Like in one social media day for Wendy's.
And that was just a smattering of what they were doing. They were basically spending all day coming back at people who were talking about the nuggets.
That's incredible.
I mean, certainly an uphill climb for McDonald's as far as the spicy nuggets go. Their nuggets are so-so at best, I would say.
If this was a baseball game, though, Wendy's would have been 3-for-3 with like three home runs, 8 RBIs, and a victory.
Yeah, not a bad day.
And pitched a no-hitter.
Hit the showers, Wendy.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
When you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they're focused on you. They are real people, ready to give real advice on everything from laptops to the cloud. And they offer tailored solutions powered by the Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Dell advisors listen so you know that your small business needs have been met. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. How can you show your customers a happy face when you're wearing a mask? Well, you can smize or smile with your eyes, a word coined by supermodel Tyra Banks 11 years ago on the TV show America's Next Top Model. It involves bringing life to your eyes while keeping the rest of your face neutral. Since the coronavirus pandemic, the Wall Street Journal says the staff at Local Jones and the Halcyon Hotel in Denver have embraced an additional ritual. They gather in a circle with their masks on and run through a series of facial expression drills that involve arching their eyebrows, crinkling their noses, and most importantly, smizing. Hospitality teams are adopting the modeling trick as they try to deliver service with a smile while the smile is out of service. In normal times, humans can get by with what psychologist David Matsumoto calls a social smile, or when the lip corners turn up, but the rest of the face stays put. He says this is the smile that greases the wheels of society and keeps us connected. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenko.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Hurricane Laura made landfall early today in southwestern Louisiana near the Texas border as a Category 4 storm with a potentially unsurvivable storm surge and extremely dangerous winds up to 150 miles an hour. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards.
We haven't activated the entire National Guard since Hurricane Isaac. But we're doing it now because we anticipate a need for very robust search and rescue efforts.
Laura is forecast to bring catastrophic damage to the Gulf Coast, with floodwaters possibly reaching up to 40 miles inland.
Number two.
A teen accused of opening fire on a group during protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin Tuesday night, killing two, is in custody in Illinois. 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse is due in court for an extradition hearing tomorrow. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has identified 7-year veteran Rustin Shesky as the officer who shot Jacob Blake as he tried to get in a vehicle Sunday night. Call said Blake was near a knife when the shooting took place, but would not say whether Blake was carrying the knife.
Number three.
The NBA postponed three playoff games yesterday after the Milwaukee Bucks called off their game in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer.
There's nothing more important than change happening and Black Lives Matter, police force being used inappropriately too often. Too many people losing their lives.
Also called off all WNBA games, 3 MLB games, and 5 MLS matches. Tennis player Naomi Osaka pulled out of a WTA match scheduled for today. Vice President Mike Pence forcefully defended law enforcement but made no mention of the Black Americans killed by police this year as he addressed Republican convention proceedings.
We will always stand with those who stand on the thin blue line, and we're not going to defund the police, not now, not ever.
Pence also called Joe Biden a Trojan horse for the radical left. Another step in the push for autonomous cars, Ford and Bosch are testing an automated valet parking deck in Detroit. The system allows drivers to exit a vehicle, and the vehicle would park itself in the parking structure. Systems in a Ford Escape test vehicle communicate with Bosch sensors to locate an empty parking location and move the vehicle into the spot.
Wow. All right, so in that scenario, at least you wouldn't have the Ferris Bueller parking attendant taking your sports car for a spin.
No,
there'd be nobody to.
Hopefully not. No. Nope.
Just be nobody, period. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A little girl with Down syndrome has become the face of a children's fashion campaign. TheSun.com says 2-year-old Eleanor Manton appears in JoJo Mom and Baby's Autumn Winter 2020 catalog in snaps taken by her mom on her iPhone. She was spotted on her family's Instagram account by the chain Scouts, who contacted the girl's mother in the UK. She says a couple of days later, lots of lovely clothes arrived and they started taking pictures. Husband Craig, a property operations manager, acted as chief smile coordinator, dancing to amuse Eleanor during the homemade photo shoot. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.